Welcome to Apartment 5H. Yeah. Now we're going through some of my collectibles.
For sure.
First up, JD Williams in the building.
Cheers. What's going on?
I'm
going
to do some of my collectibles. So on the camera, you can't really see this, but we'll pan over here. So here is my, these are like my sports memorabilia.
Right, right.
I have a Magic Jordan signed basketball.
Okay.
He had a TV show called This Is Magic.
Uh-huh.
I have a boxing glove, but that's from Cannabis. Second round knockout.
Oh, from the video? Okay.
From the video. Yeah, right, I stole it from the video.
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah,
okay,
from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My most, to me, prized possession when it comes to sports memorabilia is that boot. That boot.
That's a wrestling boot.
It's a wrestling boot from Lex Luger.
Okay, all right, Mr. Perfect.
That's not Mr. Perfect.
No. What was Lex Luger's name?
Lex Luger.
No, yeah, it was just Lex Luger.
He had another name.
I don't know the other name.
Like a tagline type of thing.
No, Mr. Perfect was somebody else.
No, Mr. Perfect was Mr. Perfect.
Exactly.
So who was the narcissist?
I don't know, but Lex Luger was always like...
I think Lex Luger was the narcissist.
He might have been
the narcissist.
Yeah,
come on now. We used to do this.
That was his move name.
Yes, that was a move.
The narcissist, you know.
Okay, well,
but that's what's up, Lex Luger white move. I ain't mad at you. I'm telling you, because I just saw something on the wrestlers the other day and how they, you know, it was a steroid use thing and it was showing how the ones that survived and the ones that didn't and how they look now and everything. But they showed Lex, man, he actually, you know, was doing
his
thing.
Well, he's in a wheelchair and stuff.
Yeah, but he started walking again.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It was cool. Well, all right, why you got the He-Man, what was it, Buzz, what was
B, the B guy, right?
Yeah, what's
up? So now we enter into the other side.
So
the other side is my hip-hop memorabilia.
All right, all right.
So I found this on the road. Anytime I'm on the road, I usually grab collectibles. I'll go to a store or I stop and I see like a garage sale or something and I'm near. I didn't know that Jadakiss had a video game.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it wasn't his video game, but yeah, he was on the front of it, definitely.
You hating?
No, I had that game.
Oh, okay, I'm just saying because you was like, it wasn't his game.
It wasn't like all locked songs on it. Like if it would have been just Jada or whatever, like it was like that Rap Star game where it was like they had Kanye on the front, but it wasn't like all Kanye songs.
Got you.
Jay should have had his own video game. You know what I'm saying?
At the time, I don't think they was all that hot like that.
Nah, it wasn't because they had limited music and everything. And then really what they were just selling you was a microphone.
The microphone, yes, 100%. So, yeah. Then I have the mac and cheese from French Montana. I'm trying to look at some other
I see
stuff.
You got a Kwame figure. You know what? Because I'm a part owner in a store. 53 University Avenue, Fortress of Solitude. Get over there.
Where's that at?
In Newark.
In Newark, New Jersey.
Yep, right next to Borshi Station. And we just got in a Grandmaster Flash collectible. And I just saw him the other day, but I ain't have it.
Oh,
I wish I could have gotten
the
sign.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. But yeah, they be doing all these. But I just had I see, like you said, you got the Kwame one. I was like, damn, the Grandmaster Flash, Kwame. We outside, man.
Got Kwame, Run DMC.
Oh, yeah. You know those.
I have 2 chains of high school picture. I just have a lot of stuff.
Over here,
I was on Wildin' Out.
Okay.
And I won. And I think that they want you to return the belt when you not me.
Nah. They had to get a new one.
So
now they know they can't let you get your hands on. Nothing.
Absolutely not.
Not the gloves,
I'm from Brooklyn.
Not the belts, not no pictures.
I'm from BK.
I ain't mad at you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
We're doing it right. That's how we do it.
And then
man.
Behind you here is my Transformers G.I. Joe collection. And then the next one is my wrestling collection.
All right, man. Well, look, it's like reminds me of my little, Den, my man Den and everything. And it's like, we got a lot of the same stuff, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think I got a little bit more Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, but pretty much all of the rap and all of the rest of the collectibles, I got all of these.
Do your friends ever look at you weird for being a collector?
Nah, they used to it by now.
they don't call you a hoarder?
Nah, they used to it by now. Like I said, it been like
you
this,
have good
you
friends.
Know? Well, hey, man, you gotta, you know, well, also, you know, my friends, they be like, after a while, they'd be like, what the hell is that? And then after a while, I'm like, well, this is this. And then it comes back around. It comes back in style.
Okay.
So then now it's worth it that you got it. They're like, oh, my friend, you know, D told me about that. See, there you go. See, it'd be sitting around for so long. And then you finally see it one day and you'd be like, Oh, that's what that is.
That's why he's looking at me.
One of the things I used to do, like, and this is like years ago, I used to like make these like collages on my wall from all of the magazines back in the day. Okay. Double XL, everything, everything. I used to take all the, make collages. Because when my homies used to be over, they'd be like, who are you talking about? I'd be like, him, or her, or that, that. I used to, so I used to just put the collages up because I used to try to just have to point out stuff. And then, you know, as we started really, as I really started to collect stuff, it was like, you know, people, this dumb little stuff like this really gets locked in people's heads.
It does.
You know, so it'll come back. But yeah, man, this is for fun. It helps keep you young, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
You've always been a collector, like, your whole life? Or did it just start?
I mean, well, you know, when I could start buying stuff. Other than that.
Other than that, we used to steal it.
No, you know? Or your parents just go and give it to you, you know? Because we was just out with the games. Like, you know, I always, you know, I had every game system, you know, all of the games and all of that stuff, went to camp and stuff like that. But then once I definitely, once I got, like I said, once I got my own place, yeah, I definitely started stocking it with, you know, all the little things.
Yeah, because I've always been called weird here for having collectibles and stuff.
You always talking shit.
No, I'm just happy that someone else is co-signing.
No, no, because I'm the one that has to do the dusting here. Like, I had to situate all those cereals and snacks.
The dustier the collectible is, the better.
No,
it is.
I got allergies. Like, come on now.
I'm just letting you know that. So, one day, I've had partners, and I told you a lot of times I go on the road, and one day, Rick Ross had a party at his mansion. So, you know, everybody's going, and again, I'm from Brooklyn, so, you know, we start wandering around the house. Right. You understand? Not to steal anything or nothing like that. We just wander.
Just checking it out. Yeah,
just checking it out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Wander.
Casing the joint.
Yeah, casing the joint. And we stumbled upon a room, and he had a room full of toys. Mm. And I was like, wow, but it was locked. So I went to him. I was like, yo, you know, he went and grabbed the key. And we went in his room. His room was as big as this apartment. And he had a whole bunch of collectibles. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that this was a culture. Mm. And he started making phone calls. He called James Harden. He called like two or three other basketball players. And they all was, everybody was showing their collection and different things like that. And then it was a point in time where we had like a big group chat and everybody sending their stuff in. You know, whatever they found or whatever like that. And that's when I knew that I wasn't weird.
Oh, yeah, nah. I mean, well, like I said, also, I think it's like I said, it helps keep you youthful, but I think it's also a memory thing because like, we forget so much so quickly.
Yeah.
You can't, most people can't remember phones, numbers anymore. You know, people forget movies as soon as they walk out.
True.
So like when you retain something, and especially when it has a sentimental value, I think that, you know, yeah, it feels kind of distant, but it's kind of close. Like, it bugs me out. Like, I wouldn't put this like so high on my list, but it is something that I do value. Like, I always think about, you know, one day I might buy the original Ninja Turtle suit from the movie. You know, just to have it in my room. You know? But
valid.
Like I said, and those things, you know, they I think they definitely help keep your blood running. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, it's not weird. People collect sneakers.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
Women collect makeup and stuff.
First of all, that's a need. But I'll give it to you because when we were playing Nintendo out there, I was playing Super Mario Brothers 3 and I was dumb excited.
Oh yeah.
I was like jumping around. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't even want to talk to them. I just want to play the game.
Yo, see? That's what happens.
Fine.
I think being a collector is the nostalgia also. And I feel like me even being a DJ, I think most DJs are collectors because we're used to digging and finding things, even when it's music, instruments, sounds, different things like that. So I think that's embedded in us. J.D. Williams in the building first, my bad.
No,
good
no.
friend.
Thank you for
having me. You understand what I'm saying? Long time.
Thank you. We're here.
Right? Now, I do want to make people familiar with you just in case somebody are not familiar.
Okay.
Because I feel like, and I don't know how you would take this, but I feel like I'm like this too. I think that we are Snap famous. Mm. Do you know what Snap famous is?
You talking about Snapchat?
No.
Or just Snap in a famous quick, is, like a quick moment?
No, Snap famous to me is, yo, I know you.
Oh, Snap. Oh,
we
like
are, that. Damn, we all know. Do you get that a lot?
It's less now.
Okay, ooh.
I mean,
well, Tokyo is.
Okay.
Well, only because, you know, it's degrees, right? So
okay.
You build up slowly and it depends on what people are watching. So, like, yeah, when it was Oz, when it was Bricks, you know, when Oz, people like, you look familiar, or they'd be like, I love that show and I know you. Then, of course, when The Wire comes around, it's like, okay, you look bigger, but that's you. I'm sure that's you. Then it's like, you know, another series, and now it's like, you know, the whole BMF thing. Now people, like, you know, kind of, I don't really get the snap. Now it's like people saying, hey.
Okay.
They more sure.
Oh, so you graduated from the snap.
You the guy.
Okay,
yeah.
My bad.
I might have lost that a little.
You graduated from the snap.
Maybe about 5 years ago.
Part of self.
It's okay because, like, those increments, I think, are very important.
Okay. Because
a lot of times those keep you hungry. They keep you humble. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They make sure you stay in perspective because I think when people stop getting a snap, when it's just people calling you from across the street, it kind of devalues it because now you're feeling like you're losing privacy. You're feeling like, you know, you're getting attacked. You know, some people just feel like they come up, put their arm around you and take a picture without saying something to you. Now you kind of turn into an animal in a zoo. So I appreciate, like I said, that as and it's the difference between being popular and famous. You know what I'm saying? So as one goes one way and one goes the other way, I just want it to all, you know, kind of be organic and make sense. You know? So I don't really trip off of that. You know?
Which one do you prefer?
I would rather be... That's a good idea because they both have different uses. You know, I guess whichever one comes with, I think fame would come with the most benefits.
Yeah.
I think fame comes with the most benefits. Well, popular, I think being popular goes away faster.
Okay.
You know, so you lose your popularity quickly. You know, fame, you know, you can kind of keep building on that.
Okay.
You know, you can even become infamous if you want to. You know, so I think fame would be probably more valuable.
That makes sense.
How do you feel being from the East Coast and being from Jersey? Did that kind of make it harder for you to get into television and film?
I don't think so. I probably ended up sticking out more being that I'm from Newark, from Brick City, from where I am. But I think it's also, you know, a lot of personality, a lot of connections. And like I said, it's like, you know, you have to have a kind of a hunger and kind of a drive to go out and, you know, do things, meet people, you know, be places.
Okay.
To, you know, deal with personalities, you know, watch your back. You know, so it's a lot of times people are not, you know, built for that. And a lot of times people don't want it. Like, it's a lot that I did ever since Oz that I just refused to even entertain.
Okay.
You know, so there's a lot of times where people are like, well, why are you not here? Why are you not doing this? Why are you doing this? Well, because I just, taking my time, is just certain situations that I'd rather just not even have on my resume if I can, you know, avoid it. So, you know.
Yeah. Does working help you get other gigs?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's
that's kind of like a dumb question, but I think sometimes somebody that's watching may not understand that.
No, I get what you mean. Because momentum. You know, once you have momentum, it definitely helps that keep going. It's just like, you know, money attracts money. Or, you know, you look like you got money.
Yeah, that's true.
Or hoes.
Whichever. And more those, one thing is going to bring more to other.
It's true.
So, you know, when you broke, you're like, nobody want to work with you. But when you got bread, everybody like, where you at? Let's 100%. Let's do something. So, you know, but yeah, definitely work brings more work. And if you're doing it right, the more work you do, it'll bring more high caliber work.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, but like I said, I think it all goes into also the approach. You know, I wouldn't want to do anything too fast or, you know, end up making a deal with the devil for no reason, you know?
Quickly thinking, what would be something that you was like, I didn't want to do, but it turned out good? And why it turned out good?
Well, it's not that I didn't think it was going to turn out good. It's just that as an actor, sometimes you need to challenge yourself.
Okay.
So when I first started, I say within the first 7 years of me being a professional, somewhere around there, maybe 5-7 years, something like that. It wasn't too long. But within those first couple of years, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Sex and the City stuff and a lot of, you know, different roles where, like, whether you're playing a gay person or... You know, just something outside of the box like that, right? And in theater, you know, there's a lot of that in theater. Like, those stories are told prominently in theater because theater has a huge gay community, you know? So I do a lot of plays, like, maybe when I'm not working, like, maybe once every 5 years I go and do a play, you know, find something interesting to do. So anyway, I'm doing this play, and it's actually it was a homoerotic play. Now, I wasn't gay in it. But, you know, it was their story that they were telling. And I was like this straight character within
the gay community.
Yeah, within this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and to your point, it's like, yeah, it's like you gotta, sometimes it may be something that you might not be 100% comfortable with or in on or whatever, but it's ways to find, to get around those things. Okay. And I don't mean like circumvent them. I mean like to get some of that experience so that, you know, it's not so foreign to you next time. So maybe you can use it. Like when I was doing Oz, you know, if you've ever seen Oz,
mm-hmm.
like it was a whole gang. Like it was a gang of everything. A gang of Muslims, a gang mm-hmm. of gay people, a gang of Aryans. So, I mean, a lot of, you know, mostly everybody on there was an actor. Like all the Aryans was actors, mm-hmm. you know, well, as far as I know.
Okay.
You know, so some of them was Cuban. You know what I'm saying? Like some of them wasn't even white people. You okay. know what I'm saying? So that's how sensitive it was. But a lot of the people who played like in the homosexual gang, a lot of them was like prominent, you know, gay people, figures, actors and all that. And just watching how they would process that, do this and stand up for like whatever the storyline is mm-hmm. for their particular group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like, yeah, they would be kind of doing that, wouldn't they? And they would approach it that way. They wouldn't approach it like the, you know, the Irish or the Muslims approach it. And so, like I said, it's just this whole learning process. So back to your point, like if it's things that...
What was the name of the play?
Mr. Hustler. No, okay. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith. Yeah.
You ever take you to Mr. Smith? No, I'll pass on that one.
Nah. And like I said, it was, you know, it was...
I'm gonna pass on that
one. But see, and that goes to it. So for us, for straight men, like, what was the weirdest thing was like I say, even though I wasn't involved in any of this stuff going on, it's just, even the story for us is like, man, like, y'all really be going through that? Like, is this how y'all talk to each other? Is this how... You know, y'all relate? Okay, well, how do I fit into this? Mm-hmm. And so then I got to work it out with, like, I can't do that. I can't say that. I understand that. We're going to change this. Like, it was, like I said, it was a very interesting process. So I do not mind finding things that I haven't done or that challenge me a little bit. I do have boundaries. You know what I'm saying? But it's
what's
like,
the boundaries?
Just any...
Kissing another guy?
That's one of them, yeah. Okay. Of course. I mean, but that's the same thing as you saying, like, oh, I got to... do real cocaine in a scene. To me, it's like, there's a limit to the reality of what we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Do actors sometimes do real cocaine in the scene?
I doubt it.
Oh.
I mean, they might do it before they come on camera. But I doubt they'll do it, like, within the scene. You know? Because, you know...
That'd be crazy.
Well, that's the one thing, like, and that's why people, when they talk about, like, stuff like that, smoking, like, weed or drugs or sex, the thing is, like, you have to repeat this. So whatever we do, we got to repeat it. So that's why we can't really do it for real unless you like, I'm just doing this one time.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, because can you imagine some dude having a sex scene?
And keep it
he finished and now they're like, oh, let's do it again. He's like,
that's pornos, right?
He's like, nah. Y'all going to have to edit that. Edit that some way, you know. Now I'll fake it out, you know, whatever. But yeah, there's certain things, like I said, there's certain things that you really do. It's like if we were having a fight scene, I wouldn't really want you to punch me and I wouldn't really want to have to hit you. And then if we do, we got to do it again. Now we all lumped up. Yeah, so it don't make no sense. So there is, in my technique, particularly Meisner, there is a limit to, you know, how realistic you kind of want to go.
How well is the brotherhood when it comes to actors on shows? So when I say that, is it primarily mostly after the shows that I see you later, everybody go about their own business, or is it, you know, hey, what's up, man? Let's go out afterwards. You know, let's keep in contact.
I think it depends. It depends.
That's what I mean, primarily. But
yeah. Like in my experience, most of the dudes that I've worked with, I've ended up developing some type of friendship with. Like whether we just check in on each other every couple of months. You know, or congratulate each other every time we get work or we see each other. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even just somebody you just call, just, yo, what's up? What you doing? I'm in your town. I'm in your city. So usually it's like that. I do know of situations where, you know, dudes that, you know, just come in and go to work and then leave and don't hang out at all. And usually those be the ones that's the, you know, the leads.
Okay.
You know, that's usually the
bigger,
lead,
the bigger.
Yeah,
okay.
They usually want to come in, get in.
Is there anybody who surprised you like, yo, he's mad cool?
Not surprise me for being cool. Usually people surprise me for being jerks.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to assume that you're going to be are in the first place, because okay. most of the environments that I'm in, ain't none of us putting up with that. Mm-hmm. So if you come in a certain way, mm-hmm. you already know you're going to get your ass toe up. Mm-hmm. So most people come in on a chill, you know what I'm saying? So if somebody come in on some cockiness, you know, me and like three other people usually looking at each other like, you know what to do. Uh-huh. But yeah, nah, like somebody who I thought was like, and if I would say anything surprised me about somebody being cool is like they would be like over.
Yeah, but there's nobody has never been like that.
On set, I mean, like it's a lot of love on set. I'll give you one quick one. I was presenting an award, some Billboard award. This is a long time ago to Genuine.
Okay.
And he ran up on stage and almost popped my head off. So that was something like that to me. It's like, I'm like, whoa, that was my first time meeting him. Like, we hadn't spoke. Uh-huh. And then I saw him later a couple times after the party. And he was real cool, real nice. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think he realized he almost killed me. Mm-hmm. But it's things like that is like stuff. But like most of the people that I meet, like I said, especially like the really good actors, you know, they're very professional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like everybody's pretty chill, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's been your favorite, like, cast out of all the shows that you've worked on? Who's been your favorite cast to work with?
Now that's messed up. That's a messed up question.
Why?
But because it's like kind of like picking your kids and stuff. Well, but parents be doing that.
They all do. The time. I've been saying like, parents the pick their kids. Like,
yes, they
be like, yo, that's my favorite kid actually. So I it's hard to say favorite because I got two things out of both of them. Like, between Oz and The Wire, mm-hmm. like, Oz had all of the vets that was already famous, you know, and popular. Okay. You had Rita Moreno, you know, yeah. Ernie Hudson, Harold Perrineau, Eamon Walker, Dean Winters, Chris Maloney, J.K. Simmons, Kurt Avicedo, myself. Then not to mention all of the guest stars we had on mm-hmm. there. So that was already kind of set up.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, I was really in awe there because I'm like, man, all these people I kind of, either I've been watching for the last 5-10 years or I grew up watching them. Okay. Rita Moreno, you know, she got an Oscar, an Emmy, she got an EGOT. Mm-hmm. Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, and a Tony.
Oh,
and she was super nice to me. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I mean, I was only like 18, 19, but she still was very patient, very understanding. She was, you know, she was talking to me like I was there, mm-hmm. you know? And so that set, that cast, I probably learned the most from. You know, yeah, Oz, I probably learned the most. Now, The Wire, you know, those my people, those my peers right there. We probably, you know, we had a lot of nights out together, you okay. know, and, uh-huh. you know, discovering things about B-More. So you got me, Driss.
And it really filmed in B-More.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Me, Driss. Mike B, Trey Chaney, Dom West, Dom Lombardozzi, you know, Seth Gilliam. It was a bunch of us there. Mm-hmm. Plus, we had, you know, another show with Superior Writers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'd be, like, really hard for me to choose between those two mm-hmm. because they so different. But, yeah, so I say Oz is, like, my favorite brother mm-hmm. and The Wire is my favorite cousin.
Gotcha.
I mean, that explanation is 100% valid. All like, right. for those reasons, and by the way, Rita is the Puerto Rican queen before J-Lo, just FYI, okay? Mm-hmm. So put some respect on her name. Mm-hmm. I have actually a portrait of her in my living room.
So, there she goes.
Well, I know you're not, and I'm letting you know. So just when you hear that name, show some respect, all right?
Corazón.
That's fine.
She's a real queen.
Idris is a person that I met, and I was... Like you know, it was somebody who I was like, "Dag, this is the guy from The Wire, blah blah."
When he was DJing.
So let me say, it was two things. One, he started talking with the London accent. I'm like, "What the fuck?
What was
right,
this?"
Right. Like, hold on. Then I'm like, you know, I'm looking at him as an actor. He's like, "Yo, teach me how to DJ." What? You understand what I'm saying? It just went like our relationship went totally different. Like it was like a DJ to DJ, and I'm looking at like. I'm looking at him as an actor. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He's like, nah, man. DJ.
He used to kill me. He'd be calling me, right? Yo, I'm in New York tonight. I'm in New York. Come down to the Meatpacking District. We'll be down there. I'll be down there. I'm spinning some records tonight. And so we like, what? All right, so me, Covers, we go down there, right? We're looking at him. And he up there, right? He's playing the songs. Here come the blend. Oh my God. Oh no. He like, so we clown him. We like, yo, you gotta learn to blend them damn songs. He ain't giving, he ain't care. He like, look, they didn't need to come. But nah, he did his thing. I mean, we went to see him. We used to come down there and support him when he used to do his DJ thing, man. But Idris, yeah.
I was, I'm looking at him like, he looking at, we kind of looking at each other the same way. Like, I'm looking at him like, this is the star. He looking at me like, yes, I, you can help me DJ. You understand what I'm saying?
That's true. You already just did something with Slick Rick?
Yes, I'm pretty sure this was a long time ago. So I'm pretty sure he should have gotten some skills now. I'm like,
I don't know, man. He went back to kickboxing for a little while. I think he was F1 racing for a second. He done, so he might not have had time to even brush up on those, man. Mm-hmm. But you know, Driss is the bro, man. That's the bro for it. Okay. Yeah, and a lot of things y'all see, he copying me.
Okay,
I'm gonna just tell you that.
Speaking of the Wildcats, right? I was also told by older people, and I don't know if I took it the right way. They was like, well, JD used to babysit Michael B. Jordan on the set. This was This was the exact words they said. Babysit. And I was like, babysit? But I guess he's younger than you.
Yeah.
Right? And they was like, but it was by way through his mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, see, now,
okay.
That's the only reason, that's the only way I would even
use the word babysit.
Because okay. Uh-huh. His mom did say... She said, yo, y'all from both from North, from Arts High. I guess she had watched me do him developing. Mm-hmm. And she said, I won't let him hang out with anybody but you. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was the consensus. They were like, since his mother gave him express permission to hang out with Mike. So that's basically his babysitter.
His babysitter. Okay. Yeah.
Because he couldn't come out of his trailer unless he was coming to my trailer. Okay. When they spent the night overnight, he couldn't go to nobody else's room unless he was coming to my room.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When we was in California, like, you know. So we went on a trip. I was the first one to take him to Magic, you know, and you know, we was just doing stuff. Like, his mom would let me just take him out. And I'm like, I got him. She ain't gonna let nothing happen to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like, his mom, and I just saw her not too long ago. Bless you, mom. I was honored that, you know, like I said, to even, because in this industry, first off, you know, you don't trust nobody with your kids.
Absolutely.
You know, no matter who they are. And it's a lot, because she also knows he's coming. He's going to come into his own. He has to grow up. He has to be around somebody, you know. And like I said, I looked at it as an honor for her to say, like, whatever she saw in me and everything. Like I said, I obviously both from North, we graduated from the same high school, but that don't have to mean anything.
Right.
But whatever she saw in me, she felt like, you know, that I would make sure that he was, you know, on the right track.
You're straight.
And, yeah, making some sense and everything. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Mike. Yeah, that was my little bro, man. Like I said, if he wasn't the way he was supposed to be, he was with me. Mm-hmm. So that was just about it.
That's dope.
Did you see the growth in the meaning? Pause. Right? Did you see like that?
That's a
big, you know, pause. That he would be where he's at. Like sometimes you could see a person be like, this the guy.
Well, I knew Mike had to drive. And it was this thing. Once we got out to California, I knew he was going somewhere. I remember I said, I'm a comic book person. So when I saw Miles Morales, I was like, yo, in like 6 years, this is probably who they're going to want you to play. You're going to a superhero stuff. You're probably going to be Miles Morales. And I mean, we was just going back and forth with all this stuff. And then, you know, we even wrote some scripts together and all this stuff. And I was like, yo, whichever one of us get to flying first, once we flying, that's it, because they ain't gonna never have to pay you to learn that again. And it's going, so all of this stuff we talked up, you know what I'm saying? We talked about a lot, saw it coming in, saw it coming down. So in a way, I did see it coming, especially as he started to develop into a man, you know, from Hardball to from when we finished The Wire, and then he started doing on Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. Was that when? Yeah, Friday Night. And I started to see this thing, and then when I'm out in California, and as I'm helping him audition for lines, and I'm seeing him, you know.
Oh, y'all sit there and practice together?
Oh, yeah. Well, I stayed with him for, that was little bro. Like,
okay.
Yeah, and a lot of things y'all see, he copying me.
Okay.
I'm gonna just tell you that. That's my little brother. I gave him some tricks and tips. You know what I'm saying? Like
we, what?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Just
give us like two.
No. But one thing I tell you though, when he first started working, he used to be really nervous when doing interviews.
Okay.
And so, like, I loved seeing him get more comfortable with doing interviews. And that translates into his work also. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, back in the day, he used to, like, kind of overthink things mm-hmm. a lot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now I'm pretty sure he's very comfortable. I teach classes. So if anybody want to go look me up on Instagram, I do teach classes. But, with Mike, even with just comprehension, because remember, we went to the same high school. He was a drama major like I was. So we already had a foundation, you know. It was just really like how we get to character breakdowns and connection, okay. you know. And then also it was just this aesthetic thing that was going on, you know, back mm-hmm. in the time. Like sometimes you just gotta look good okay. or sound good while doing it, because that's the sound that they're gonna use in the commercial. That's the line they're gonna use in the commercial. Mm-hmm. If you know that that's the line for the movie, you gotta kill it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Get all dramatic with it if you have to. So that's one of the tips, you know, okay. figure out which lines are the sound bites. And hone in on those.
Sound bites, very important. So that's a good tip.
You know, so we had a couple of those. But yeah, man, that's my little bro, man. That's it, man. All of them, man. Him, Andre Royo, we all still outside. Harold Perrineau got the hit show right now with, what is it called? It? No, it's called, it's called From.
I do see that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Eamon is still on Chicago FD, I think. And, Adewale. Mm-hmm. My man who played Killer Croc in the Suicide Squad yes. and mm-hmm. James Bond. And, you know, he's still killing it for mm-hmm. doing it for Big Africa. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. That's my big bro right there. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the one that took me under, when we was on Oz, he was the one that took me under his wing and was telling me game, like, look, don't be running on set looking all nervous, all sweaty. You know, like, if you look like you did something wrong, people going to think you did something wrong. So he taught me how to, you know, calm down, be cool. You know, just, you know, man out on the set. You mm-hmm. know, so, yeah, you got to pass it down. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Was there ever a time that you didn't have a trailer and it's like you just, like, standing somewhere baking? Or had to share a trailer? You ever had to share one?
Well, not in a while. Okay. Not for a while. Not for a while. So, late, luckily, for a while, I've done had my little, you know, my little two-banger, my little half a trailer for okay. a while. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you still got to get in the little honey wagon with the little four little tiny rooms in there and, you know, whatever. But,
it's like four of y'all in one.
No. It's just four little slim rooms in a trailer.
Yeah. So, you just, this your door, this,
oh,
this
yeah, one. Oh, okay, yeah. That one. Yeah.
Do but, y'all have like riders or something like that? Like, all right, in my trailer, I need ABC.
I mean, some people, I don't.
Okay.
I would only ask for a big room, a two banger, just one big
with
room.
Nothing in it.
Nah, I don't need nothing in it, not really.
Okay.
But one time I did get asked to ride with Mariah Carey, and I really didn't know what to ask for. Mm-hmm. And we was doing a video. I was doing a video for her, and they was like, yeah, da da da. And I'm like, oh snap, what should I ask for? So I'm like, I don't know. I had no idea. So I'm like, chocolate cake. Right. But hold up. So I get it right. I get there right. Get in my little trailer and everything. And first off, it's a basket, like about as big as this table, mm-hmm. but it's made from vines. Mm-hmm. The whole basket is woven from vines. Got the grapes, big ass grapes like this, still attached to it, uh-huh. all around. Had like my first bottle of Cristal in it, and a whole bunch of other nice cheeses and stuff.
Ooh,
and
all this. Charcuterie?
So, yeah, mm-hmm. so I'm like this, and this is like a long time ago. So I'm like, okay. And then the cake comes. So now it's the cake, it's about this big, right? But then I open it up. It's like some type of cake I never seen before in my life. And I had one slice and I was drunk. So I don't know what that was. I mean, I'm like, damn.
They probably had rum in it.
Yeah, it wasn't rum. It might have been like a champagne or something Ooh. Like that. Or something like that. Something crazy. But what the thing is, like, so after all of that, and I'm like, look, I'm going home with all of this, and I'm like, I could have just asked for anything, right? I'm like, damn, I should have asked for a PlayStation 3. You know, they probably would have gave it to me. I could have asked for all tests. So now I'm like, now, so I've been waiting for somebody to ask me
that's
for
what you want.
It never happened again.
Damn.
What you want?
That was just shot.
Mariah spoiled me, though. She spoiled me right off the top, though, for mm-hmm. real. That was cool.
She's another artist that I met that was like super down to earth.
She is. She
yeah,
was,
like yeah. I would have thought she would be like a super diva.
Yeah. Because you hear the story.
You know, what's up, kid? What up? Yo, yeah, da da da. You know, and I'm like, nah. Wow, you know?
Well, see, and then that's funny too, because if you look back, be like, all right, she was kicking it with Jermaine Dupri and ODB. And when you talk, when you hear about these people talk about it, they be like, nah, Mariah not really, she ain't really uppity like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? All. So and as a matter of fact, that day I was doing her video and she wasn't on set when I was there at first, and all I had to do was take a picture for that day. So I took the picture somewhere out here in Brooklyn, by a bridge somewhere, and then I just went back home to Nook. As soon as I walk in the door, my phone's ringing, my agent's like, yeah, Mariah Carey wants to know if you want to come back. I'm like, what kind of question is that? Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's going to send a car for you. Boom, car was back. Like, I guess she just told him to turn her back around. Uh-huh. So they came and they picked me up, and I'm thinking, like, damn, Mariah Carey wanted to meet me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, so I went back, and she was doing an interview for Extra or whatever. She finished the interview, she came over. She talked to me, she said, yeah, I thought you were great. You know, thank you for doing the video. And you know, in my brain, I'm acting like I'm not, but I'm froze. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But it was great, man. Yeah, she was definitely a beautiful
super
person.
Super
man.
Cool. Yep.
Was that one of the is that one of the times that you've been starstruck?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think like that wasn't even struck. I was just, you know, I was crushing a little bit.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? But and you know, I was still trying to play it cool. So because I had snuck past a security once before.
Oh yeah.
I was small, so I was like, doop, slapping, sitting right next to her. We both nice like this. Uh-huh. And she remembered that too. So yeah. Oh. So anyway, but yeah, Mariah, yeah, she was definitely cool, down to earth, 100%, man. It's just some people that's just, like you said, you don't expect them to be so receptive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
But definitely one of the people.
Right.
I think my first starstruck was Diddy. And I know he's, you know, beat the trial and most of the counts. But I think it was a Black Rob album release party or something. And he came out and I felt like he had, like, you ever saw The Last Dragon?
Oh, yeah.
And had that glow.
Yeah.
He might have. He had all the baby oil. He was covered in baby oil. Of course he was glowing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, snap, that's Diddy.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So then people were clapping and stuff like that, and then that's when he went sour. He was like, stop making noise. Stop making... He got mad, and everybody was like, huh?
Let me find out that Nipsey clip is real. Go on.
Oh, when he said, better not clap?
Stop clapping.
Oh, he said that. I'd never seen that. So yeah. I'm not even...
Nipsey was clapping in the background. He was like, stop clapping. And Nipsey was like...
He said the same thing. I didn't even see this. What you talking about? I had no clue.
That's crazy.
So he was like, yo, stop clapping, da-da-da. And one guy stepped in. He was like, I'll erase your social security. And he kept saying that to the guy. And I said... Damn, that's made me like a mook. I'm like, I never heard that before.
Uh-huh.
But you know,
that is kind of a
when
dope line.
When you about to see, like, you beef with someone, I'll do up or something like that. Not, I'll erase your social security.
You won't exist anymore.
Yeah. I said, oh.
That's funny.
Let me write that one down. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? My starstruck is usually if I'm caught off guard. Like I have to respect the person a lot.
Yeah.
But then if I don't know that they're going to be there, I might get a little bit hit. Like I walked into an audition room and Chris Rock was sitting there.
Mm.
And that was the first time. And this is for Pootie Tang, right?
Mm.
And now I'm thinking in my head, I'm supposed to make Chris Rock laugh. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And so I got to do these lines and I'm like, and he's just sitting there and I'm like, I didn't even get to say hello or nothing. I'm like, all right, So then when my school trainer started kicking in, it was like, just put it out your head, just go and do it, da-da-da. Did the audition, he gets up, he runs over, start talking to me and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, because he was watching Oz. He was like, no, we got to have Bricks on here. Come on. So then now he like, he wanted to improv. So now he wanted to improv with me. And so now I'm going my head again. See, that's the thing. I need to go to see a therapist because I'm too good at suppressing stuff, right?
Mm. Okay.
So I'm back in my head again and I'm like, trying to, you know, improv with Chris Rock, and I'm like, oh, can't wait to get out of here so I can talk to myself out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like that. And then one time I was walking down the street and I looked to my left and I saw Al Pacino in a car.
Oh.
And it was a red light right there. Now, if the light wasn't turning, I probably wouldn't have freaked out.
Okay.
But it turned and he started driving off. Uh-huh. So now I'm running down Manhattan. Yo, Mr. Pacino!
You chased him?
You think I didn't?
Yeah, he
And I probably was like 20 at the time or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So then like it was almost to another light and he looked to the side. And it could have been my imagination, but I know he looked to the side and saw me, but he had to see me running and yelling.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm like, but that was hilarious. Cause I looked and I was like, And then as soon as I looked, the light turned. He started pulling up, and my instinct just kicked in. I was like, "Run! Why am I chasing Al Pacino?"
No, Al Pacino is chase worthy. 100%.
Oh, one more in Manhattan in the car with my daughter, and we looked to the right, coming down the street, and Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker.
Oh, Luke, okay.
Is right there on the corner, and he's trying to hail a cab. So I'm like, oh, baby, pull over, pull over. So we get out the car, and I say, here you go, Mr. Hamill. You know you can have this cab. He had his wife and his kid, took a picture with us and everything, got in the car and rode off.
And the same cab you was in?
Yeah.
You just got out your cab and gave it to him?
Well, we wasn't that far from where I was going. So we was like half a block. So okay. I was like, oh, we gonna give Luke Skywalker the car, mama. See that? You know, she probably like 9, 10 or something like that. And I'm like, he's playing Chucky. She's like, oh, I don't want to meet him now.
Did they sign you up for the next season of BMF? So I hear you mention school. Is school important for an actor trying to become an actor?
Well, it depends. Like I said, it's a training ground. So just like with any discipline or sport, you know, whatever you do, if you play basketball, you got to get on a court somewhere, mm-hmm. and you got to play against some caliber of competition.
Okay.
So yeah, you need practice. So anything and with acting too, you're gonna have to go in, practice, compete, you know, improve.
That's what acting school is.
Yeah, that's what
it is. I've never been to acting school. Oh. I always say, yo, I want to act or something like that, and I'll just be like, yo, I'm just audition. But now I keep hearing you talking about school, or I heard you say it. So now I'm like, all right, maybe I should, you know, try to do a schooling.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just, it's more practice, and it's more akin to sparring. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you wanted to box, you know, you got to practice. You got to go up against people that's going to help you get your confidence up. You're going to figure out your own little tricks, your own style, how your body work. You know, so you got to work all of that out within the class. You know, so when you come into class, you're working with other people probably doing the same thing you're doing, trying to figure out how to, you know, work their style. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it matters because you definitely won't know what you are doing until you don't know what you're not doing, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What's the process of when you start doing the show? So when I say that, they give you a script, right? Do you learn the words before you get on set? Do you learn the words the hour before? Like, how's that process?
Or like the preparations?
What
is yours?
Well, I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
You're supposed to get your script. You're supposed to break down your script.
What that mean, break down?
You gonna come to the class now?
It means to break it down. I forgot you got the class.
I got you.
Where's the school at again?
Brick City on Zoom, man. Just call.
Oh, Zoom. Okay, Zoom. Just call. Okay, gotcha.
But when you get to you look at it, you break it down. Whether you're looking at your character, you're looking at the psychology. You always want to know why. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? So that's what you do. You read a script and you just ask yourself at every turn why, and you might write it down. But you come up with these reasons in your head as to for the motivation for everything. That's why, like, that's one of the biggest actor jokes is like, what's my motivation? Because that's really what we're really thinking about most of the time. What the hell am I doing this for? You know? And that's why a lot of times directors be like, just shut up and just do it. You find your own motivation. We don't care. Just do it. But that's the main thing. You gotta find that motivation. You have to lock those particular thoughts and ideas down for the character.
Okay.
You know, because that's what's gonna make it more realistic, more lifelike. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, you gotta practice that. You gotta get in there. And what was the beginning thing you
asked? The question was your process.
Yeah.
Like, meaning I would give you a script. Because I mean, I've talked to a handful of people, and you know, some have said, well, I read it right before I go on the set.
This is what I was about to say.
For that particular scene.
So what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to get your script. If you need a partner, you got a partner, get a partner. Study your line, do a breakdown, study your lines, memorize your lines, come up with how you're gonna do it, go to set, be ready with all your lines, ready to go. And then when you get on there with the actual person you're doing it with, you execute. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You might have to adjust depending on what they're doing, but you should be prepared. That's that's the ideal thing. What a lot of people do is they get their script, break out what parts they're in, just their lines, and then maybe study those once or twice, and then not even get a chance to probably look at, because sometimes you don't know what scene you're going to do what day.
Okay.
So some people might wait until that day to look at the scene so that it's fresh on them.
Okay.
You know, so that, you know, you don't overdo it, you know. And so now, a lot of people do end up getting their, they've looked at the script mm-hmm. before, but they might end up looking, getting to set that day and then looking and being like, oh, this is what I'm doing today. Okay, now I gotta refresh and memorize this again and study mm-hmm. it. So you might get to set and you be in the makeup trailer with somebody and y'all be like, you wanna run these lines? Yeah, cause I ain't looked at these lines in about 3 weeks, uh-huh. you know, so a lot of times you do end up getting on set, refreshing and working it out like there. But you mm-hmm. have looked at them before, but most people do end up, you know, getting the set and mm-hmm. checking out their sides and saying, oh, this is the scene I'm doing today. All right, I know this one. Let me go and work it. But that would take like a certain type of professional too. Because some people can't just come in and just do that.
And just do that, okay. Yeah. I don't think this guy was off. Who said that to us? I forgot who said that to us, sitting on this couch. I don't want to blow him up anyway. has there ever been a time where you came in and you had your perception of a character, but the director was like, nah, that's not, I don't want it like this?
In a small way. Most of the time, if a director asks me to make an adjustment, I usually like it or mm-hmm. I needed it or, you know, it's not a big deal. There's maybe only one time a director asked me to do something that I really didn't think fit the character and I hated it and I didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, sometimes you have to, look, because I'm loaning this as an actor. I'm loaning my body to the character.
Right.
So if you ask me to have the character do something that I don't think the character would do, mm-hmm. that's a violation. I'm not doing it.
But do you get in trouble? Do the director get in trouble? Like, what is the penalty? Has to be some type of penalty.
I don't know. I mean, if it would have came down on me, it would have just came down on me. If he couldn't get me to do it and they needed him to, then it would have came down on him. I didn't really suffer anything from it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it was something where I was pointing a gun at somebody and the director was telling me to shake the gun. And I was like, my character wouldn't be shaking the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I didn't want to listen to the director. It was that we had already been doing this particular, you know, thing for like months. And so this is, he just came on. And so he doesn't know what none of these characters are actually like.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I did about 7 episodes of this. He wouldn't be shaking his gun now all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, but I need to see it. I need to do it. I'm like, man. If you don't get away from me, mm-hmm. I never saw that director again. You know.
Maybe for obvious reasons.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I got him fired, but...
No, but that makes sense. Like, if your character has been pointing a gun at people
straight
for
up,
the last
right? uh-huh.
7 episodes, like, why is he... Unless it's a person that he's, like, a parent or someone from his past, then there's an emotional connection. If there isn't, what's the point?
And like I said, I understand people, directors, and it was, and I was given the nervousness and the fear that he wanted in other places, in my eyes, my voice. I did wiggle the gun a little bit, but he wanted it to look like this.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, like, that's not it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, cameras are close. You know, you can look like to the side and the camera's going to pick up you looking to the side. You can, you know, flare your nostrils. The camera's going to pick up every little thing you're doing. You don't have to be big for a camera, you know. So anyway, but like I said, yeah. But I have not bumped heads with many a director, you know, and I don't plan to.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the directors, like I said, I work with are so good, you know, excellent, elite directors, great directors. But yeah, I will definitely stand up for my character and myself if I don't agree with it.
Did they sign you up for the next season of BMF?
Hold on, because you... Go ahead, answer the question.
I don't think I could tell. I don't think I could tell.
Trying to catch him.
I know you were
that fast. I'm just saying.
But you're supposed to. No, but you're a dodo bird because we should have been. We should have had conversations about it.
No, you go straight
then,
to it,
and
bro.
Then,
I couldn't tell y'all anyway. I wasn't going to say anyway.
Excuse me. I'm an actress at heart. I would have had this conversation, this dialogue, right? Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So I was like, they got you for the next episode.
I would have still said I can't say.
It would have been smoother.
It would have been, you know.
Thank you. You see?
It would have been smoother.
No, man, I had
it's a veteran stopped it.
You stopped it, man. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't going to tell you, man. I can't say y'all ain't going to have fifth in my line. Be mad at me.
Well, the one thing I was talking earlier, I did not see anyone said there isn't a new season. The only time that was in question was 50, you know, with his text.
Well, see, this is the thing, because everybody on that text, they got the timeline off. We had already finished filming this year when that text came out. So he wasn't talking about this year. He was talking about anything after this. Because a lot of people was like, oh, I didn't think it was coming out this year. I'm like, we had already been finished that. Yeah. He wasn't talking about this year. He talking about next year. If it's the next year.
Understood.
See? So, you know, but I mean, I think, first off, you know, y'all know Fifth is a marketing genius. So I think that if anything, what happened between them added to this year's, you know, cachet, more people watch it. I think this is probably going to be the most watched season. So
well, she was saying that earlier.
Yeah.
I think this is the best season yet.
Thank you. See, so I don't see it not coming back. I mean, and not because of Fifth, because Fifth is not the only, you know, stakeholder in the project. So, you know, if he wanted, if he don't want to be involved in it, he could easily sell
just
his way
leave.
Out. Yeah, you know, whatever. So, but I don't see it not coming back next year. I mean, just for the because it's profitable, as profitable as it is, you know. So, you know, but if it don't, you know, I'm pretty sure you spin it off into something else.
How did you get involved in it?
Dude was one of the writers, Jasmine Darnell Brown. He was writing for Saints and Sinners, this other show I was on. And weird enough, he said that he was like, when he was writing this character, he thought about me. And he just called me. Yeah, but it was weird because the accent, the gold fronts, the dress, and I'm like, okay. And then so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, thank you, you know, for, you know, I'm glad you trusted that I have range and everything, but what made you think that? And so anyway, he said, hey, I went in. I didn't really, you know, it was like a light audition. I was the only one there, you know, looked at me. He said, yeah, approved them, and I just went in. But it was just, I say this is one of the most fun characters I've gotten to play just because I get to be so different.
I was going to say, this is so different. I did not, when I saw you were playing, I was like, this is not him. Like, it's a totally different character than what I've ever seen you play.
Yeah, well, people don't.
I usually root for you, but I'm like,
why? He chilling. He a hustler. All types of hustlers.
Nah. He's untrustworthy.
All types of hustlers, man. Trust him to hustle.
Hello.
Call him Trustworthy. But I'm having a good time. I'm having a great time with everybody involved. And yeah, like I said, even just the fact that it was the type of job that it's like somebody's like, yo, they trust you to just knock it out. I really appreciate that. So that I even gave it a little bit of more extra oomph. You know what I'm saying? Some of my St. Louis people telling me that I'm doing all right. So that's cool. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I had fun doing it when we were doing it last year. Last year, right? So
y'all filmed
in Atlanta.
Oh, in Atlanta, okay.
Yeah. Was it like from March to like July, something like that? Yeah, so.
How's that filming process? Is it like every day, every other day?
Did you stay there the whole time from March to?
Well, I was living there. I just actually moved back up to the tri-state area.
Okay.
So I was in Atlanta and Georgia for the last like 4 or 5 years, enjoying it. I love Georgia. Georgia's great, man.
Okay.
But yeah, I was down there, and so my character being that it was pretty much, you know, supporting. I probably would work 2 to 3 days a week, you know, those particular episodes or whatever. So yeah,
and it's so like they call you when needed.
Yeah, well, you know, like, your script is broken into, you know, sections, and it's not in order. So, you know, yeah, so maybe I'm in the last scene. They might do that the first day, and then you might not see me for another 8 days because now I'm not in it till the beginning when you doing these shots with all these other people.
Or
it might be a different location.
Okay.
We don't have this location until next week, so we'll see you next week. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that it was, like, all out of sequence.
Always. It costs too much to do it in order.
Interesting.
So sometimes you know what's going to happen before.
Oh, yeah. Like, usually, you might want to get, like, the biggest, most dangerous stuff out the way first.
Okay.
And the sex out the way first.
Okay.
Because, like, if, you know, let's say the two people that's supposed to have sex get in an argument and they don't want to touch each other later.
Really?
Let's get that. And also, if you get the sex out the way first, the sexual scene out the way first, now we got to know each other. So we probably going to end up being more friendly to each other because we met hugging and kissing on each other. So now we can't, you know, unless, you know, you stink or something like that or, you know, something like that. It's a, that's a bad experience. But that's the way we could get the best experience out the way first. And then it can only go, what, downhill or one way from there, right? So,
interesting.
And then, like I said, like when you got like some crazy stunts, if you can pay to get those out the way quick, so that way you ain't got to risk hurting your star later or, you know, something happening. So, yeah, so you definitely want to do those types of things. So,
you ever had a stinky love scene?
Nah. Fortunately, I have not. And I try not to, did my best not to give anybody any. I did have this one girl who was weird, wild, because she's going to be playing my girlfriend on Oz. And, you know, we acting. We on this TV show, man. And we doing this scene, and I'm in the prison, and she bringing me to my baby, and, like, I didn't think I had to discuss this. Remember, I told you I'm young, I'm hungry, I'm on it. So I'm taking the baby. I reach over to give her a kiss, and she's like, hold up. She stopped and said, everybody like, whoa, what's happening? She probably was like 17 or something like that. Whoa, I can't kiss him. I got a boyfriend. Everybody was like, yo, what? And now that's when I was thinking, like, how you get in trouble? That's when I was thinking, like, yo, I hope. I really hope somebody put a foot on her ass out of here because we are acting in here. We don't got time. This is childish. And I'm like, 18, 19 years old. I'm like, this is childish. You know, so anyway, they're like, all right, we got to keep pushing on. So producer, director, somebody pulls me to the side and they're like, yo, JD, you know, like, I'm like, don't worry about it. I got this. I told him, I was like, watch this. So anyway, or what I did was I didn't kiss her. I didn't like force kiss her on the mouth or anything. But the way that I did the hug and the kiss, I made sure to make it look like we was in a relationship. Yeah, I didn't care what she wanted at the point. I'm like, look, because we're going to do this one time, and I promise you I ain't never going to see you again. You know what I'm saying? And then the scene is like, you know, me taking my son. I'm taking drugs out of his diaper, swallowing them. Then the next shot is me shitting him out. Like, ain't nobody thinking about you kissing me, girl.
I got a shit out drunk.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. Like, you bugging. You sneaking in the baby. You ain't supposed to be thinking about kissing me. Like, but sometimes, you want to do those things, like, right away. And, yes, I have not had any smelly love scenes.
Okay. No stinky love scenes.
As an actor, what would you think you are most notable for?
Right now, Bodhi, I'm guessing. I think Bodhi would be
The Wire.
The Wire.
Okay.
I think would be my most popular character right now. But a lot of young people right now, even over the last couple of weeks, they've been talking about this BMF character. They've been talking about Jay Push a lot. So he might do some catching up. I don't know. Because, you know, it was Bricks. Then, you know, Bodhi was just the guy because he was outside, you know. And then, you know, my other characters was pretty, you know, level. I think it was level. Like in Saints and Sinners, I got to play like a dude who didn't want to be a criminal anymore. Who's trying to go legit and, you know, and certain other things, you know, where it's me trying to level it out. But I don't know. Like I said, I think by the end of this one, this Jay Pusher might be
Yeah, he's up to no good. I know he's up to no good.
People like him. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's the fronts or the clothes. Maybe I don't know. Cause look, I'm wearing these preppy old polo clothes. I'm preppy poloed out.
Very fresh.
So you know, they might. Maybe it's that.
You got a twang to you too. There's a little twang to you.
Oh, yeah. We do it. You know, that's my North Carolina. So it's like I can pull that, you know, that South, that St. Louis out of there, you know. And the gold fronts really helped me remember. Okay. Help me remember to do the accent, you know. So, but yeah, it's funny, man. But that's another thing, too. I'm hoping that definitely this helps with people seeing my range.
Gotcha.
You know, even though he's still a, you know, thug, but you know, it's a character.
So for sure. And it's different for you because, again, like, this is a totally different character than anyone has ever seen, at least from my perspective. Like, seeing you play this type of role, it's like definitely showing your range times
a
million.
Thank you.
And I remember your Hershey commercials too.
I was just with that guy. He just called me today.
Oh,
yep.
Shit.
He just called me today. Like, where you at? Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's crazy. That's...
I have one more question though. Hold on. As far as like the most ruthless like character, Lamar versus Omar. So Lamar, BMF, Omar, The Wire.
Well,
who's
see,
more ruthless.
I think I'm gonna have to go with Lamar because Omar.
Really?
Because Omar is not ruthless. He has more rules. He has a code. You know,
okay.
He has a code and he has morals. You know, he's just convicted. You know, just once he make up his mind, he just say, I'm going to go do it.
Okay.
Lamar, from what I'm understanding, that he's just vicious.
Yeah, he is.
You know, so I'm going to go with him because, I don't see him. Look, like Omar came back to get them because they killed that old lady on Sunday. That hurt his heart. You're not a ruthless person if you're getting revenge for an old lady on a Sunday.
Yeah, but Lamar was getting revenge for his dog. Did you see when he walked in? I mean, he had the Martin dog. You remember the Martin dog?
Oh, yeah. That had a damn puppy. That ain't no damn dog.
He had the Martin dog, but no less. Like, the way he felt for that dog, like, that was touching because he's a psychopath.
Well, see, well, maybe that might make him more ruthless. See? Like how John Wick had to get ruthless because they killed his dog.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Nah, I think he was ruthless. I'm making up excuses. No, he's a psychopath. 100%. Now I agree with every word you just
said.
There
you go. See? So he took it down. That just gave him more of a reason.
Right.
You know, but yeah, but Omar was doing things, you know, he had, like I said, he had this code, like, oh, I'm only stealing from drug dealers. You know?
I remember that.
I'm only doing this. I'm only doing that. You know?
True.
So. I want to get, before I get out of here, I have an axe. Somebody this in a minute. I want you to put them in order from popular, your favorite to least favorite. I should have wrote them down. Good Times.
Oh.
Jamie Foxx. Cosby Show. Martin. And Living Color.
Mm. All right. Martin and Living Color. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put Martin at the top. But those kind of are interchangeable. But I'm gonna put Martin at the top.
Okay.
Martin and Living Color. What was the second
Good Times.
One? All right, see.
Cosby
I think,
Show.
I think. All right.
How you not going to throw the Wayne's
Brothers Cosby Show. There? Cosby Show. Jamie Foxx. No, Cosby Show. Damn, I don't know if I should put Good Times ahead of Jamie Foxx, though. No. Yeah, Jamie Foxx, Good Times.
Okay, you said, who did I miss?
You forgot Wayne's Brothers.
You think the Wayne's Brothers?
Nah. No.
Nah.
Nah, I rock with them, but they not on Martin level.
Nah, no. Martin's my favorite show of all time.
That's
like, I still watch it on Netflix before I go to sleep.
Right.
Like, yeah, I love Martin.
Yeah,
you
gotta give it to Martin.
I couldn't even put... Nah.
They had Martin. They had the meme. You know where he was defending himself in the courtroom over the ticket? And when he walked in, they were saying that that's going to be Diddy. No, I love Martin.
Yeah, nah. Wayne's Brothers. Nah. I mean, Wayne's Brothers
Martin's
is cool.
Number one of all time. Period.
Nah, but the Wayans Brothers, it was cool. Like you said, it was cool.
Okay.
But it, like I said, when we talking on that level, because Jamie Foxx don't really hit Martin level either. Not the show. Not the
show. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I get why you put it there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's those seminal things, plus as talented as Jamie Foxx is.
I think Jamie Foxx was an era that, and I just wanted to see your range of an era, because a lot of times some people put certain things, because, like, even with me, I think... Good Times, and I guess I'm a little older, so Good Times and Sanford and Son and those type of things, I could never put Martin over them. You understand? No matter what, it's just because to me, those resonated with me, and it was more funnier than Martin. Martin is very, 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 very funny. But,
hilarious.
You know, even we were going over hip-hop, or whatever, and I still couldn't put Nas over Rakim. You understand what I'm saying?
So, no, you were saying KRS-One.
Well, I'm using Nas and Rakim as an example.
But you switching up the conversation we had. We didn't have that conversation.
I'm giving an example of I could never put, you know, and there'd be some people that were born in the 80s or something like that, 80s babies, that would say Nas is, you know, Nas over Rakim because they didn't, you know.
Correct.
They didn't.
Well, you know what? That sounds to me like the difference between something being the best and something being your favorite.
Well, that's why I asked, what was your favorite?
Yeah, so but that doesn't, but objectively, mm-hmm. Martin is
the best, you say.
A better show than some of those other ones.
I still disagree, though.
This is where I'm going to go with this.
I still disagree.
How about this? Old School. You said Sanford and Son.
Good Times.
What's happening? Okay.
Jeffersons.
Uh-huh. And one more.
What else would we say? I don't want to put Different Strokes in there.
I was going to say that, but that's like I don't want to put Different Strokes in there.
Give me a second. America's going to be mad at me that, like, yo, how you going to remember
Don't worry. So out of those four for right now.
I think they're all better than Martin.
But rate those amongst each other.
Okay. So I would, just me per se.
Right.
I put Sanford and Son first.
Mm-hmm.
After Sanford and Son, I'll put Good Times. After Good Times, what did we say? I would probably put What's Happening. After What's Happening, then the Jeffersons.
I'm going Jeffersons first. I'm going Jeffersons first. Because I'm having a hard time between Sanford and...
Good Times?
No.
What's happening?
What's Happening. I'm having a hard time between Sanford and What's Happening.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a hard one right there.
But you put Martin over all of them.
Yes, because Martin made me cry before, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, and Martin came up with enough characters to fill up all those shows,
right.
Man. Like, man. Now look, I'm not telling. Not counting the last two seasons. Only the first.
Well,
like,
that's because they had the
first four seasons.
I agree.
I'm cool on. But like Martin, nah, bro. That was a whole different level. And our Honeymooners, right? Because okay. Martin is basically based off the Honeymooners.
Okay.
You know, get
I can
out.
See that.
And him
uh-huh.
and Gina's Alice. He's Ralph.
Wow.
Scheming, okay. Kicking his friends out the house all
that's
the time.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the stories they copied directly from the Honeymooners.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The one I'm not paying the five.
I never used to want to see the Honeymooners because I think I heard a. A Big Daddy Kane song. He was like, I've never seen a black person on the Honeymooners. And I was like, yo, that's right, man. I never watched that.
We wasn't on TV back then.
I was like, I ain't watching that, man.
We wasn't on TV. Yeah, but no, that's true. But I mean, but yeah, man. Well, there you go. Ralph Cramden. But yeah, Martin, but to your point, some things, like I said, like definitely all of those shows are undeniable, I think, mm-hmm. pretty much. And it's all subjective,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... That's one thing, but all of them were, you know, Red Fox. That's still to this day. That's definitely
Red Fox always had me crying. He was super funny to me.
You don't want
to
meet my dad then. Okay. My dad is literally Fred Sanford. He got a hauling and demolition business.
Uh-huh.
Got the gravelly voice. He gonna call you all types of dummies and uh-huh. tell you all types of stories. So my dad is a beast. But yeah, and all of those got moments and all of those classics because all of those built us up. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I'm coming, Elizabeth. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I'm coming. Like,
I'm surprised you didn't even mention the Cosby Show in that.
But see, I thought we had the Cosby Show in the other list.
Well, I still would put that in the old school
no,
shows.
You no, you can't do that. You didn't even mention the old school. You were missing one.
Yeah,
like,
I was, but I was waiting for him to say no. the Cosby
no,
Show.
No, but those are the 70s. Those are the 70s. Cosby's
okay.
was more
80s.
More 80s.
Okay,
yeah,
no
so
problem. Okay.
I stick to that. But the Cosby Show, like I said, and I might have to put the Cosby Show right. I might
under see, Martin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's so important. You know
uh-huh.
what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's so important. And then when you start thinking about all the other moments that happened on that show, you mm-hmm. know, them changing the house into the real world for Theo and.
Well, my favorite was the Gordon Gartrell.
Gordon Gartrell, or the one with the Night and Day with the Ray Charles song.
Okay, yeah.
That one.
That was a good episode.
Like all the intros, the different intros
yes.
every year.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like, yeah, Bill Cosby showed us how to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, big. And so, I don't, but those are great shows, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't think we could take away anything.
Would you ever do a sitcom?
That's what I'm really hoping to get
to
into,
do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to play, like, you know, the Homer-type dad on a sitcom,
mm.
you know, mm-hmm. something like that. Yeah, that's fun. That's where I want to kind of end up.
Mm. I want you guys, before we leave, too, there's a show. It's not on anymore. I think he had 2-3 seasons. And I stumbled upon it. I think he, like if someone was to ask me what would be an honorable mention, I would say that is Marlon. Marlon had a show by himself. It's just called Marlon.
I remember the show.
It wasn't popular at all.
Yeah, only the pilot came out.
No, he had three seasons. It's about three seasons of it.
It's on Netflix, isn't it?
I don't know where it's at.
What channel was this? This is not UPN.
No. It's just, it's called Marlon. He has three seasons.
But what channel was it on?
I don't remember what channel was it, because it's been on for like 2-3 years now. Like,
you mean it's on now?
No, it was on.
It's on Netflix.
In the 90s or the 2000s?
No, it's a recent. It's recent. It's like within the last 2-3 years.
This is after he did that. After he did the Netflix deal. He had
episode was 2017. It was on NBC.
Oh, NBC. It was on regular TV. It was on regular TV.
Damn, Marlon. Sorry, bro. Sorry.
No, but I think that went under the radar.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But when I found myself watching it and I'm like, wow, this is a great show. You understand? And I'm just saying it to you guys because I feel like a lot of people did not know about it or it went under the radar. It's a modern day sitcom, and it's similar to, it has all the implements of what we love. Like it has some good times, and it has some Martin in it. It has some Cosby Show in it. Like, I think he grabbed all the best black shows and put it all in one.
Probably.
You understand? He got, you know, the Martin and Pam argument. It's Marlon and the friend,
right?
Then it got him and his kids teaching his kids things. They got the bum as the friend. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So honorable mention. When you go home one day, you ain't got nothing, like, you know, if you're smoking or eating or whatever, you know. Let me watch this.
That's
Marlon.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Marlon.
Who else was in it?
What's the girl named, the light skinned girl?
She was in Mass.
The other girl, she was in Mass.
She was in a lot of stuff.
She was in a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know her name.
Hold on,
she was like she was the wife.
Essence actor.
Essence, yeah.
Essence played his wife. Yeah, she always.
Yeah, she's in Mass.
Yeah.
Essence in there.
Remember her being in the show though. I do.
Oh yeah.
No, because, like, you know, some people you gonna remember. Like, Marlon is so much stuff. You, like, you know, you might be blending it in.
Yeah.
But something with
the Marlon thing was very, very good.
She did play his wife. Sure did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was good. Anything, let's tell them about your the school and the store.
Okay, hey, what's going on? Yeah, so I do coaching classes, basically. So, you know, if you want to go ahead and check me out on my IG, that's JD Williams Virtually. You can go ahead and sign up through that. I always keep the post up on how to, instructions on how to do it. My store, Fortress of Solitude, is a comic book store. Has collectibles, books, omnibuses, posters, T-shirts, movies, you name it, we got it. Pens, stickers, all of that stuff.
I definitely
got
to go there.
Yeah, come through, man.
You got collectibles, you got posters like this?
Come on, I take care of you. It's a comic book store, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, come through, I take care.
I'm in the comics, too.
Okay, Fortress of Solitude, 53 University Avenue, Newark, New Jersey, right next to Broad Street Station.
Oh.
But yeah, man. Oh, and check out the movie coming soon, City That God Forgot. What's up there, Wildin' Out in Detroit.
And the new season of BMF.
Oh, yeah. Well, we doing BMF right now. Check me out, Jay.
No, talk about the new season.
Oh, like he said, if it comes like he said, like he hoping, if it comes, then check it out. Tell him self sent you.
Yeah.
What?
The new.
You're so stupid. First of all, Tops. Just want to give a shout out to Tops. I know about Tops.
The diner?
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to Tops Diner.
That's not in Newark, though. That's in Kearney.
It's in Newark.
That's in Kearney.
It's close enough.
It's on the borderline.
It's right there on the bridge.
It's right there.
We claim Tops. Okay.
And you know the new Tops.
Nope.
Yes, you do. See, that's a
new Tops. 2016 is considered new Tops?
Nah, that probably was the last one. That was right before they made it new.
Thank you. I used to go back in 2016.
I done wrestled a lot of Newark chicks, man.
Well, I'm pretty sure you did. Never mind.
You know what I'm saying?
We know you get around.
She on point for right now. She on point.
Okay. The lobster mac and cheese. Stop playing.
Okay. Okay.
Well, shout out to the new Tops. I still like the old Tops, but the new look, the ambiance and stuff looks good.
You're right.
And they
put
a DJ in there, so shout out to them.
Yeah, true that. They look nice. It does look nice.
One love. Shout out to Tops. I know about Tops.
We're trying to talk shit. Anyway, go on with your outro, sir.
Thank you for coming by.
Oh, man.
Thank you for coming by. It was a great conversation.
Listen, the new season of BMF is on Stars. It comes on every Friday. If you got the app, it comes on at midnight, Thursday night into Friday morning. I still call it Thursday because when you are a 5% of God body, the day starts when the sun rises. Peace, God.